U.S. officials are trying to bring security to Iraq and also straining to restart the economy there. They're focusing on free trade, or at least freer trade than during the time of Saddam Hussein. And despite the country's lawlessness, NPR's Ivan Watson found entrepreneurs eager to make a profit.
Brick by brick, construction workers labor under the baking sun, building the Baghdad office of one of Iraq's newest joint ventures, the Emirates Iraqi Shipping Company. Investors from the United Arab Emirates have put $5 million into starting this company, which plans to ship cargo to Iraq's port on the Persian Gulf and then distribute the goods by truck across the country. The company's director general, a Jordanian businessman named Dawood Kutub, predicts that within a year, this venture will start making a profit.
Yes, for sure, because I forecast that Iraq will import in the coming year not less than 20 million tons of cargo, of all type of cargo. This cargo has to move by ships. And since we have a joint venture with Iraqi people, I think we will have a priority in the ocean freight. Iraq is a gold mine. Iraq is a gold mine.
But some businessmen think the new Iraq is not a gold mine, but a deadly minefield. Ali Lami is an Iraqi who runs a successful upscale grocery store in a wealthy Baghdad neighborhood. Months before the war, Lami began construction of an ambitious $3 million project to expand his store into a mini mall that would include a hotel and several restaurants. He gives a tour of his half-finished three-story building.
As you see now, this project was to be many restaurants. Each restaurant is special for a kind of food. One of them for chicken, the other is for fish, the other is for grills. But now the situation doesn't help me. I'm not have the courage to continue this project.
Lami has frozen all construction here for an indefinite period because of the current lawlessness, combined with the unsteady supplies of electricity and clean water.
We're screwed for the next 2 years, definitely. Business is screwed.
Ashish Oberoi and his partner Rajesh Sondi estimate they've lost some $15 million in business over the past 6 months. These two Indian businessmen run a company called Lucky Exports, which did brisk business importing cars and other material to Iraq before the U.S. invasion. Sondi believes it'll take several years to get trade back to pre-war levels. And that's not guaranteed, he says, since Iraq is now governed by what he calls jungle law.
It is very risky. No insurance, no banking, so it's 100% risky.
Still, the two entrepreneurs see huge opportunities here. They're considering buying a hotel in Baghdad and subcontracting cheap Indian labor to future U.S. construction projects.
See, Iraq is still a gold mine, you know. We could do a lot of business there, if we are allowed to do so, you know.
Iraq's new American rulers say they are determined to do all they can to encourage potential investors. Charles Healy is the spokesman for Paul Bremer, the U.S. administrator in charge of the country.
There's an existing body of Iraqi legislation that we're looking at the moment, some of which will need to be amended in terms of encouraging foreign investment and allowing foreign ownership of capital and of companies in this country. And clearly Ambassador Bremer's vision for the economic revival of Iraq is very much centered around private business, around the private sector, and around entrepreneurs.
The businessmen interviewed here say they're still uncertain about exactly how the U.S. administration will regulate Iraq's trade in the future. Some fear the new system may favor U.S. companies. In recent weeks, the U.S.-led Provisional Authority ordered the shutdown of two Arab mobile phone companies after accusing them of providing unregulated telephone service in Baghdad. To date, only the U.S. company, MCI, has a license to operate mobile telecommunications in the city, though a tender has just been issued, allowing other companies to compete for business in the capital. Ivan Watson, NPR News, Baghdad.